King, and oh, how I love him. He's my King, and there is none above him. All day long you can hear me singing, hallelujah. He's my King, he's my King.
Oh. I'm thinking about it, Brother Painter has uploaded the entire fellowship meeting to the video on the website, and he's got DVDs available of yesterday's service for $2. If you'd like to have a copy, well, he'll make it available to you.
I was reading recently in 1 Chronicles that, of course, King David was 70 when he died, and it said he was old and stricken in years, so I'm just 3 years from 70, so I must be getting old, but I don't like to think of myself as stricken in years, because I think of somebody that's stricken in years is on their last leg, you know, got a lot of health problems and kind of feeble and not much energy, and I'd rather identify with Caleb. You know, he said when he was 85, he was as strong as he was at 45, so as at 40. So I'd rather identify with him. Somebody said that, you know, you're old when the highlight of your night is staying up to watch the 6 o'clock news. I'm not there yet, but I subscribe. I know Brother Weiniger knows who I'm talking about, Dr. Julian Whitaker. Some more of you may have heard of him, but he's a doctor who believes in alternative medicine, and he believes in staying away from drugs as much as possible. He says doctors are too much pill pushers. He said recently he got an email from one of his female subscribers. She's nearly 80 years old, so she said you went to the doctor for a checkup, and he said, how many medications are you on? And she said, none. So she thought he was going to fall out of the chair, because he said you should be on at least 8, because one for every 10 years. So medicine is a big business, you know, and two people, you know, it's necessary. I've had to use medications, but I think we should stay away from them as much as possible. But I'm not going to start drinking red wine because we don't believe in drinking. But Dr. Whitaker said that there's a compound in red wine. It's called resveratrol, and it's the reason that the French people are healthier than Americans, especially when it comes to heart health. And this resveratrol is what makes wine improve with age. You know, it doesn't spoil. So they've done experiments with mice with this resveratrol, and they've lived 30% longer. And they've done experiments with fish, and they've lived 60% longer. So I'm not going to start drinking wine, but he sells this capsule that he says it's actually better than taking the wine, and it's also got turmeric extract and aloes extract in it. So he says if you take these pills, you can live to be 100. So y'all may have to put up with me for a long time. And he said not only can you live to be 100, but you can stay vital and active till you're 100. So I don't know. Time will prove that. So, but I try to, you know, think positive about staying as healthy as I can and as active as I can, as long as I can, because, you know, when you've got health, you've got everything. I've got a first cousin that's the same age of me, and he's had four or five bypasses on his heart, and he's got full-blown diabetes. And so I know people my age that are kind of stricken in years, but I know health is a blessing from God. It's better than, well, the Bible says wisdom is of great value, but I would say next to that maybe health, because it's better than money. That's for sure. That Michael Jackson's gone now, and what good is his money doing him now? But anyway, so doctors, I don't have 100% confidence in doctors, and I sure don't have 100% confidence in politicians. And you know, I think President Obama, anybody is an improvement over George Bush. I just didn't care for George Bush, and he was stubborn, and he wouldn't admit his mistakes. And I was shocked when when Dick Cheney finally admitted that Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. You know, that really shocked me that he would admit that. But King David, to me, he was probably better than any king or president or ruler that ever lived, in my opinion. And he was a man of mercy, a man after God's own heart. But I studied King David, and he had another side to him. He wrote in the Psalms, he said, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful." And I like to think of him as merciful, but he had another side too. When the Amalekite came and told David that he had killed King Saul and thought he was going to be rewarded, David rewarded him all right. He had him put to death. And when the two men came, told David that they had killed Ishbosheth, Saul's son, they thought they were going to be rewarded, and they got put to death. And then Joab was a great man in David's army. But Abner was with King Saul's son, and so Joab had a brother that pursued Abner, and Abner warned him. He said, "Get away from me, Asahel. I don't have to kill you," but he had to kill him. So Joab later on killed Abner because of what he had done to his brother. But David was very disturbed that Joab had killed Abner, because he thought highly of Abner. And then before David died, he said, "Make sure that Joab gets his payback." So Solomon had Joab killed. And then I believe it was Shimei that when David was fleeing from Absalom, he was cursing David, and one of David's men said, "Well, let me just take care of him and put him and kill him." And David said, "No," said, "I've sinned, and I'm probably getting what I deserve." But before David died, he told Solomon, he said, "Make sure he gets paid back." So Solomon set a trap for him, and he said, "Now, don't you leave Jerusalem, or you'll be killed." And so Shimei, a couple of years later, he had some slaves that ran away, and he ran away. He went to get them. So Solomon found out, and he had him put to death. So I guess David had maybe a righteous indignation side, like God has a righteous, he's merciful side, but a righteous indignation side. But so I don't trust politicians. I've never voted, and I heard Glenn Beck say the other day, he said until recently my confidence in the politicians was 0.00002%. But he said after this scandal that came out about the governor of South Carolina this week, he said my confidence is down to zero completely. So that's kind of the way I feel about politicians. I just don't have confidence in them. But Brother Liniger used to talk a lot about that scripture, "Cursed be he that trusts in man." But I believe we have to have a certain amount of trust in the body of Christ ministry, or otherwise, you know, I mean, what would be the point of going on if there wasn't? We have to have a certain measure of trust, maybe not 100%, but a certain measure of trust in the body of Christ ministry. So anyway, I know the ministry's been called for a purpose, and we've been called for a purpose. And the Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. To me, a perfect day in the natural is when the sun is straight overhead certain times of year, and you can be outside and you can't see your shadow, that's a perfect day. So I believe there's a perfect day coming for the body of Christ when the shadows will be fleeing away. And thankful for our calling. And Paul said, if we are Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I believe we're a blessed and fortunate group of people. I'm thankful to be here.
Someone asked me, are you tired? I said, I'm exhausted. Come in here and worship God all morning and eat a big meal and kind of feel tired. I don't know why, but but I still, and I'm waiting for my second wind. I used to do that when I was roofing. You get out there and work till it got hot and work through the heat. And we have a day where we're going to have to work late. The day'd start getting late, and I'd start getting my second wind, and I could finish the day strong. And a lot of times I got more done in the last hour or two than I did when it was real early or in the middle of the day. Got my strength. So I'm waiting on catching my second wind. Round two. Want to finish the day out strong. Receive good things from God. I appreciated the fellowship meeting yesterday and the good things that were said. And about waiting on God, not bolting, not running, responding versus reaction. And I appreciate the Spirit of God this morning coming in and meeting our needs. And I was sitting there thinking, thought came to my mind. I don't know. I get a lot of lessons out of my little dogs. I've got five dogs. And what they call dog poor. Ain't none of them make me any money either. They cost me money. But I've got this one dog. She's the oldest one of the bunch. She's 13 or 14. I'm not sure how old she is. She can be just sitting there on the couch, just minding her own. You think she's minding her own business. And one of them young dogs come over there. And just get in her space, too much in her space, and out of that dead sleep, she becomes a attack dog. Just lights into her, You got too much I mean and just tears up into her, gets it all on her now. And I keep thinking, well, one of these days you're fixing them. That dog's going to be, is growing up, that pup's going to be big enough to take your head off. She about is now. She wants to. She ain't a peacemaker. She's one of them that, you know, everything's cool, everything's all right. Till you get my business. You get my business, and it's all she wrote. She's going to let you have it. And then I've got one little dog. You can't do nothing to make her mad. She's just sweet. Now the other dogs can take her food away from her. They can do anything they want. She's just as sweet as can be. She's kind of the peacemaker of the dog family we got there. And then just some dogs. Well, I got one. He's big. Ain't nobody messing with him. He's, you know, Niles. He's weighs about 80 pounds. He comes in there and he'll. I got one dog will take everybody's food away from him. If, you know, but not. She don't mess with Niles. He's got too much power. You know, just knows better. So she goes. He goes to the other. To the weaker ones. Usually goes to Beth. She'll just give up her food for him. But I noticed I got this, the littlest one I got, she weighs about, how much does she weigh? 4 pounds. My 30-pound pup. She's a chow hound. She'll eat anything all the time. That little 4-pound dog was standing there hungry this morning. And she's sitting there eating her food. And Mishka came in, she looked at her, and she's sitting there staring at her. And the whole time that little dog's eating, she's growling. She said, I'm going to fight for my food today. I'm hungry. You're not going to take what's mine away from me. Of course, little Mishka's saying, I could take it away from you if I wanted it. I just don't want it that bad right now. But she antagonized her. She just stood back and she just looked at her and she just inched a little closer, wagged her tail, letting her know, I could take that away from you anytime I'm good and ready. I don't, you know, there's people like that. Yeah, I watch these dogs and I get thinking, there's people like that. Sister Dolores, there's people like that. I call that the peanut gallery over there. They got something to say all the time. And I'm going to mic them one day. Anyway, I used to. yeah, we're going to sell that tape one day. Anyway, that little dog sits on that couch. That's the kind that surprises you. You think, well, that person's just the sweetest person in all. But when they jump on you, it's the most hurtful things you ever heard in your life. Come right out of it. I thought this was a sweet person. I can't believe they jumped all on me like that. All I ever see them do is cuddle and sit there all nice. That dog, you know, that dog's the most polite dog I've got. She won't jump up. She won't come sit next to you unless she'll sit there and look at you. And if you're not paying attention, she'll put a paw on you like this. And what that means is I'd like to come sit next to you and cuddle. That's what it means. She's real. She's got manners. She's got more manners than any dog I've got. Old Niles, he just runs right up to you. Please pet me. Sometimes he just sticks his head in my lap, or he'll paw me. And then the other one just jumps up. I mean, if people come to our house, a little 4-pound dog, they'll be looking down and say, how'd this dog get in my lap? She just gets up in your lap. And then Mishka, she's just up in your face, just licking you and everything else. She's just, but that little old sweet little Trixie has all the manners in the world. Do you get up in her business? Now, she doesn't do that to humans, but she lets some dogs know. You've taken my place. You're not going to get my place. This is my place. But she can't help it. It's in her nature. She's just a little dog. But I don't want to be like a someone said. I've heard him talk about the beast. You know, we've got the serpent nature and this. I've come in this place. I found out I got a whole zoo inside of me. I got a lion and a tiger and a bear and a... Oh, my. Yeah. Brother Smith mentioned the other night, talk about being in a bad spirit and know it. I'll tell you what's worse. It's one thing to be in a bad spirit and know it. And I know when I'm in a bad spirit, but I even take it to the next level. I'll be in a conversation and be rattling my trap, and the whole time I'm talking, I think, I got to shut up. I am saying everything wrong here. I should even be talking about this. I know I'm wrong, and I still am doing it. Well, guess what? We're all in this together. We are all in this together. We've got a long way to go, but we've come a long way. I'm not the man I was when I was 20. I'm not the man I was when I was 30. I'm not the man I was when I was 39. He's changing me. Praise God. It's because He's fulfilling a promise. He said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I long for God. I really do. Even when I'm weak. Even when I'm doing wrong, I still want God's help. And so and if I continue to hunger and thirst after the things of God, He'll fill me. He'll give me what I want. He'll give me what I need. And that's, someone gave me an example the other day, and I was here a while back, and I thought it was really good. And let me find out where something is. Okay. If I asked y'all what color that is, what color is that? You guys, what color is that from what y'all are looking at from here? Black and white? Sir, that's white. But you see, that was that's the side we were looking on this side, and they were looking on this side. And I think that's a Zig Ziglar deal, isn't it, Brother Tyrone? It's still good because Brother Smith was talking in Bible study about, you know, being a mechanic and the things of God. Sometimes you gotta, when your brothers and sisters aren't seeing the things that the way you're seeing them, you may have to look at it from their perspective. They may have a whole different perspective or angle or the way they're coming at it, or it's coming to them, than the way you're coming at it. And I want to be able to step back and say, you know, I can't keep telling them this is white. Why do they keep saying it's orange? They keep telling me that it's orange and it's white and black. I can see it, black and white. Well, I got to stop, turn around, and get their perspective. What are they? Why are they looking at it that way? Someone said, don't judge somebody till you walk a mile in their shoes. I said, don't criticize somebody walking a mile in their shoes. That way, you're a mile away and you got their shoes. No, that's not really not what they meant by that. You want to get the perspective. Why? Well, you spend some time with people. You find out their background. Why they have a lot of, you know, most people's the reason they hold on to things or and they won't let go is because of fear. Well, I appreciate that song so much today that said, Jesus breaks the bands. How's that song? How did it start off? He gives strength to me as I worship you. And my mouth is filled with praise. And he breaks the bands. As I raise my hands, that song is a completely talking about humbling yourself before God. And I'll tell you what glorious liberty, victory and liberty. I want the bands to be broken, of fear, doubt. What am I afraid of? What am I holding on to? The Lord, you know, whatever He strips away from me, whatever He takes away, and whatever He gives me, I know is for my good. He'll work it for my good. I should have nothing to fear. Some of the things I've been going through lately, I told my wife, I said, I'm not sure I understand, but I know that God's in it. If we have to suffer a little bit, well, we'll just suffer a little bit. I'm not going to make the big claim that some people make, but I would. It's hard for me to say because I'm afraid God will take me up on it, but I'm going to go ahead and say if He takes it all away. If I have to start all over from scratch to that I may gain life, that I may possess the body of Christ, that I may stay in this. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to go all the way. Just like the song we said that sang this morning. Are you willing? Y'all willing to go with me? I mean, Jesus, I think it was the two brothers. Was it James and James and John? They said, "We can." I think their mother said, "We want to sit at the right hand." Ask, can we say sit at the right hand when you come into your kingdom? So, are you willing to drink from the cup I'm going to drink from? Oh, yeah, well, you will drink, he said. Don't worry, you're going to drink, but it's just not my place to give. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to drink from the cup? I tell you what, though. You can make it sound horrible. It's, got to give up so much. Oh, man, it's going to be a dreadful way. Oh, no. Joy, joy, joy. Hallelujah. That's part of the fruit. I want some of the good fruit. This time of year, the fruit is hanging off the vine. You can get fresh strawberries. You can get fresh melons. Here for too long, the peaches are going to get ripe. And there's nothing better than fresh fruit. I want the heavenly fruit. I want peace. I want joy. And life everlasting. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless you. Cindy, get on a pioneer. Yes, I said that on purpose. I don't normally say pioneer. Give me F. Just a little chorus here.
E flat.
Oh, the saints have a reason to shout and to praise the name of the Lord up above. For he has given us this great salvation and joy, joy, joy. Oh, the saints have a reason to shout and to praise the name of the Lord up above. For he has given us this great salvation and joy, joy, joy. Oh, the saints have a reason to shout and to praise the name of the Lord up above. For he has given us this great salvation and joy, joy, joy. Oh, the saints have a reason to shout and to praise the name of the Lord up above. For he has given us great salvation and joy, joy, joy. Oh, the saints have a reason to shout and to praise the name of the Lord up above. For he has given us this great salvation and joy, joy, joy. Oh, the saints have a reason to shout and to praise the name of the Lord up above. For he has given us this great salvation and joy, joy, joy. Oh, the saints have a reason to shout and to praise the name of the Lord up above.
Thinking about what Brother Michael said about being willing, and all the people that God used in the Bible were willing. David was willing to walk in faith towards the Philistines, and Moses was willing, even though that he didn't have the, believe it, he has a speech impediment or something like that, but he was willing, and God filled in the gap there, gave him somebody to help him speak. And anybody in the Bible that God used, they were willing. And I feel like, you know, that's kind of what God's dealing with me about, is being willing. You know, it's not that he's always going to ask you to do that, but are you willing to give that up? Or are you willing to do this for me? So I'm thankful that he's preparing us to be in a place where we are willing, because as we're willing, I mean, it reminded me, he had to have people willing in the New Testament to do the work before he could do it. You know, Jesus had to have people that were willing to follow him and to carry out the things that he asked them to do so that the ministry could take place. So that's I feel like this is a great time to be in, because as we become more willing, greater things will happen, because as God can use us, it's going to spread like fire. I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here today, and I'm thankful for his mercy and grace.
Said if you're willing and obedient, then you can eat the good of the land. God has a lot of good things for us, and of course I want to partake in the things of God, so I got to be willing and I got to be obedient to be able to do that. So I'm just so thankful that I'm in this place. That we can come out like tonight, if we, you know, Brother Mike mentioned being exhausted and maybe full of food or whatever, but, you know, we did that. You know, God didn't do that, so it's not his fault, is it? You know, I'm just thankful. You know, I can't blame God for anything. So I noticed that sometime at work, man, it's especially when I work in an office environment in the center. You eat lunch and you have to sit up and talk on the phone, and you get so sleepy after lunch. I don't have quite the problem walking around like now. I'm not confined to a desk. So, but it's still have an effect on you. If you can somehow maybe eat light and come back, it would be a little better. But anyway, it's good to be with God's people. And I was telling somebody this morning, this is the most encouragement I get is usually when I'm in a place like this of worship and God, with God's people. And if we could stay together all the time, if I could carry y'all with me every day, you know, I could probably stay encouraged all the time. But I probably wouldn't appreciate it if I had y'all with me everywhere I went. But I want to be able to appreciate what God is doing and his people. And when I get to come here and get to be in fellowship with God's people, I want to really do appreciate it, because I can feel the strength and encouragement that I get when I'm around God's people. I do, you know, you run into some people that are trusting God and that are trying to serve God the best way they know how, and I have to commend them for that. If they're, you know, God considers, you know, somebody said he look at faith, you know, a person that's got faith. Brother Smith reminded us, I don't know, was it last weekend, about how Abraham didn't have the Holy Ghost and he believed God. You know, he had faith in God. And I think God is moved by our faith. And I appreciate that. I appreciate Sister Smith was talking about some things that she and Brother Smith went through and how she was just believe in God, you know. And he was, she said something like him, hocus pocus or something, you know, that he said that it's just going to disappear or disappear or whatever. But you know, she's believing God. And I want to believe God. I want to have that faith and believe God that he's with us. He's helping us. This is his work. And we're his people. So I want to believe that. Sometimes I get shaken, you know, in that. I mean, I might not always express it that way, but I do believe this is God's people, and God is interested in his people. He loves his people. And I just want to be willing to work with God and to be a part, to go, like the song said, to go or slay or whatever God would ask us of me to do. And the other day I got an ex-brother-in-law, but anyway, it's his daughter. He's real sick. He's in the hospital down in Louisiana. And his daughters, I mean, he's their father, so he's concerned about him. They're concerned about him, and I've been talking to him a little bit, I don't do texting, so don't text me, okay? But she was texting me, and I said, why in the world? Because my wife said, I don't even know how to answer the text. But anyway, I finally figured it out, and she kept texting me about two or three times that morning, and her dad, they was having this operation, and I didn't, you know, I was kind of, I first thought, finally figured out how to read it. So anyway, and she said that he was having surgery at, I don't forget, 8 something that morning. And the doctor was giving him a 50-50 chance to survive the surgery. And she was praying. She said, pray with me that I'm praying for 100% chance that he'll survive this operation. So, I mean, I didn't even, then she texted me again. So I said, well, I'm afraid he died, you know. So I called. I said, I better call this girl. You know, I called her. And I didn't know what to say to her because I didn't know what the last text she sent. I didn't even look at it. I just called. Then I was afraid he had died, you know, and I thought, oh, Lord, you know, why not? I said, I didn't read your last text, but I'm just calling you because, yeah, I know I got all these messages in your text. And she said, well, they just now taking him to surgery. So it was like 2-something in the afternoon. And pray for him, that I'm praying that he'll survive. And so anyway, they went on to surgery. And so I got home that evening. She texted me again, and he survived. And she was so happy, you know, so thankful. And I was just having, you know, she lifted my faith because it didn't look too good, you know, just from her words, you know, what she was saying. And I was thinking, you know, this girl's got faith. She believes in God. And I want to believe with her. I want to believe God for her dad. And matter of fact, she texted me again. Well, the last night, I believe. I need to call her again. But anyway, he was making some improvements. I think the last thing she sent me, he was holding on. But anyway, I felt encouraged from her faith, you know, over the phone, just a text message, you know, not many words. But that's what you can really, it doesn't take a lot of words. You know, if you believe, if somebody knows what they're saying to you and you believe it, you know, just like believing God. I can talk a lot or I can say a lot of things, but if I believe God, I just have to believe it, you know, in my heart. I don't have to tell you I believe it or whatever. But if I believe God, it don't take a lot of words. But I want to be able to, that's what I'm, every time I hear a good thing, people that's trusting God, no matter where they are or who they're with or whatever, if they're trusting God, then it does something for me because that's what I'm trying to do. I get a little weary sometimes trying to trust God, but I want to trust God. I want to be able to walk this walk and be able, this is a walk of faith. It really is. You know, I talked with Tyrone. I know they get built up in their encouragement, selling, going to meeting people and all. And I don't want to say positive thinking, but I mean, it's more than that. But anyway, they do get pretty positive about things. And I talk to him a lot. He's an encouragement to him, to me. And I remember when he was just a little guy, you know, and God has done something for him, and it's really it's encouragement. I mean, really, that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at results, And I believe, you know, when God does something for you, and if he's helping you, and I like to feel that, you know, that God is in this, that he's helping us. You know, if I begin to feel God's strength, no matter where it comes from, no matter who's saying it, they're telling me sometimes, you know, from the oddest people, you know, sometimes people call you. I remember one time a supervisor I had, he had retired in 1990. But anyway, he called me at work. I still hadn't seen him. He just called me on the phone and was telling me, him, you know, because I was trying to be a Christian, you know, all these years. And he was telling me about him being a Christian now. He had to call and tell me that. And I thought that was encouraging, you know. That's what I feel, you know, when I began to listen to people, you know, that are trying to trust the Lord. And I hate to even use the word trying, but sometimes that's the best you can do. And but I want to trust God. I really do. I want to begin to, because that's what this is all about. You know, people that are giving their life. I was talking to my wife, we was coming back, you know, visit with Leanna, and we were talking about all the trips with the school kids and time, going to meetings. You know, you invest in your time in the Lord. You know, your children, you spent time on the road traveling and doing things with them, and you know, you invest in your time. Yes. But I don't think it's wasted. I really don't. I really don't. No, I believe God knows what's going on, and I just want to keep trusting Him. I want to keep my chin up, keep looking to the Lord, because we don't know. I look at things and, you know, problems. You try to help people. I got a big family. I try to help. You know, they call and say, you know, this is that, and they won't help. And I try. I can help some I can't. You know, just try to do what you can. Anyway, I got this another side of nephew. I try to help him, and going to college, want to be a doctor, and he's fourth year of college, and you know, doing good. And I stuck my neck out trying to help him, and looked like it kind of shaking a little bit there. I really don't think you're wasting your time. You know, you may lose, you know, some effort, a little bit of maybe money in some cases, but I believe if you mean right, if you mean to do something to help somebody, I don't think it's, God sees it. That's what I'm looking at. God sees what we're doing. He sees our effort here in this church. And I believe, you know, that's what I'm looking at. No matter what, you know, how you try to assess it and try to calculate and figure out, you know, this and that about it, but I believe we're actually working for God. I think he's really making the assessment. He's actually checking the results. I mean, we do look at a few things, but I think if we're doing right, if our heart's right with God, that's what I'm trying to do. No matter what the outcome of things are, but if my heart's right with God, then I've given it my best. This is what I've done. You know, this is it. You know. So anyway, I'm trusting God. And I just believe I'm with people that's trusting God. And I see other people going through things, and I want to trust God with them. That's what my niece was telling me. Believe God with me. Pray with me. And that's what I want to do. I want to be one that's praying with you. We get Sister Jackie calls us a lot. She's you know, want to call somebody. She can't get to church, and I want to believe God for people that can't, you know, get here. You know, whatever their problems are, you know, because one of these days I won't be able to get here. I can see that. I tell you what, talking about my steps get slower. I know that, you know, one of these days I'm not going to be able to be here. But while I am here. While I can be here, you know. They say, while my blood is running warm in my brain, you know, while I still have my being, I want to be able to trust the Lord, lift him up. I want to praise him while I can. While I can lift my voice, I want to praise the Lord and lift him up. And I'm just thankful today that we're here. Thankful for God's people. Thankful for the meeting yesterday. It was so encouraging listening to Brother Sutmiller and Brother Smith as well, and you know, they connecting, and I know they, you know, I mean, I know their family, but still, they're working for God spiritually. And I feel that. I feel the strength from them. And I think it's helping us. So I'm just so encouraged with what God is doing. I'm lifted up. I don't, like I say, this, we just got this far. So we got to go further. We got to go further than this. But I believe if we'll continue to keep bringing God before his people and keep lifting him up before the people, then I believe we can make it. That's my aim. That's my goal, is to be with the Lord. I was thinking today, you know what? I don't have any options. You know, I mean, if we're going to talk about perfection and talking about being overcomers and all that, you know, I know I can, you know, it's nothing in me to be able to try it, to even try to accomplish those things. It got to be God. We got to be able to put our trust in the Lord and be able to lift him up, you know, and call on his name and fall before him. I'll tell you what, it's really been, this been some trying weeks for me, but I felt like it's been doing me some good, because I need to get before the Lord. I need to fall before the Lord, and you know, that's what it's going to take, you know, people that humble themselves before the Lord, because you know, that's, he's the one that's going to see us through, is our God, if we be able to call upon him. You know, he's there for us. He's available. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. He's there. I believe it tonight. I believe God is our ever-present help. You know, when times get rough, you know, we can call on him. You know, that's all I can tell people. Call on the Lord. Get serious. Who would have said? Get honest with the Lord. I read this scripture, you know, about Jesus, how he prayed more earnestly. Can you imagine Jesus praying more earnestly? You know, if Jesus prayed more earnestly, as of drops of blood, and what about me? You know, I mean, that was hard, you know, to be able to face what he had to face. That was a cup that he had to drink. It was difficult to face that, to say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. You know, that's what we're trying to talk about, our will, you know, and God's will. You know, that's, we all going to have to say that one day. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done, you know, in my life. So that's what I'm trying to do. I want God's will. And that's what we're living in. We want to live in a world where God's will is carried out. You know, that's the kind of world we're talking about, to live, talking about living in, a world where God's will is carried out. So I want to be a part of that world. So we're learning about the Lord and learning about his will and the things that pleases him. And I'm just I was thinking that Brother McGowan, we was talking about church a little bit late starting, but he said, remember Brother Tucker used to talk about, people said, well, we're late starting church. He said, well, church's already started. People are fellowshipping, they're talking to one another. Church's already started. It's already started. And these people are one, we're talking about people that are gonna eventually be together in heaven. You know, that's fellowshipping together, having good fellowship. You know, we already start. But the church is the people. You know, we already, you know, we're learning to live together. We want to eventually live together eternally. And that's our goal, is these are the people that we're going to be with eternally. You imagine that? Eternally. Forever. So I'm just getting more acquainted with you. You know, kind of been here a long time, but still I'm getting more acquainted with you. And we, you know, go through things together, and that's how, you know, that we get to know one another. There's one scripture in the Bible that talks about, says, speak that I may know you. You know, we know one another by what we say sometimes. I mean, hopefully our words are what we're saying and what we mean, you know, and what, I don't want to just say words, but I want to say what I mean. I want my words to, what I say is what I mean. It's coming from my heart. And I'm just so thankful to be with the people that's genuine. That's what that caught my eye the first time or two I was came to among these people, is people that, because one thing, like Brother Sutmiller said, people get up and tell about some of the trials they went through. And you know, you think, well, that's personal. Why you want to tell that? But that way you get to know people, you know, when You know, if I just told you all the good things that went through, then you think, well, they don't have any problem. We know about a man that used to be in our church that said his wife and he and his wife never had an argument. You know,
you remember that?
But anyway, they said, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. But anyway, I don't believe that. But anyway, I know we all, you know, everybody gonna have some kind of problem. So we sometimes have to, you know, share those things to kind of maybe help one another, you know, to let you know, you know, that, yeah, I have them too. But I'm trusting God. So I'm just thankful tonight that we're here and that we can lift up his name, that we're here to worship the Lord and along with you. And I just feel good to be among God's people. I feel your strength and your encouragement, you know, to want to keep going. When I wake up in the morning, I still want to serve the Lord, I hope. That's my goal, is I want to keep serving God. I want to be a part of you. I want to go with you. If you're going to heaven, I want to go with you. I want to be a part of this people. So I'm just thankful to be here tonight.
Well, it feels good to be here tonight. And well, I've been suffering with, I guess, swimmer's ear ever since this morning. I took a shower this morning, and in that shower upstairs, you got to kind of scrunch down. And it's the first time it's ever happened to me, but there's a hum, and I'm feeling Brother Smith's pain, I guess. I feel a hum. And well, Gene, oh, okay. I got you. But I am enjoying myself and happy in the Lord. And feel I'm enjoying the message this morning and tonight. And I'm feeling like I'm feeling encouraged. And I was thinking about a verse in Isaiah that he said, if it's all right, if I read out of my phone Bible here, he says, "Hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Isn't that encouraging? We know if we, I believe it was Paul in Galatians said that, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And then in, I believe in Hebrews, Paul said, "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." You know, they say that going through your trials will either make you or break you. And I've seen it go both ways with people. And it'll either make you stronger or make you weaker, and it's your choice. But, you know, if we held on, have faith in God, we know where our strength comes from. He'll strengthen us. It's our promise. Man, I'd like to sing a song. They that wait on the Lord. It's written in E flat. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait
Half-stepper.
Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own time you answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. May that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as he